The following message by Pastor Jim Whitfield was recorded live at Eagles Nest Christian Fellowship of Raleigh, North Carolina. Feel free to open your Bible and join with us for this teaching from the Word of God.
There is be a change. Should be, says God is not a mind, should say nor instead of man. Nor is he a body. And on number C, the last page, under B, 4, put a number 5 in there and put don't park here. Put a number 5 right under 4, under B, on the last page, down at the bottom. Don't park here. Right under, you never put her in that position. You got it? I said, have you got it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Say the Lord is good. And what? And mercy endureth forever, doesn't it? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's deposit some seed inside of you tonight. And if you've had it deposited, some of you might have heard it, but you know what? I've had a thought today, had an apostrophe today. And the apostrophe was that you can't plant seed on top of the ground, that it has to be in the ground. And so, you know, right out here, I got some plantings that I have, and I put some of it on top of the ground. Well, it did pretty good, but it would have done better if I'd have put it in the ground. It needs to be covered, don't it? So we need to get the seed of God's Word in your heart. Planted in your heart. Amen? And once it's planted in your heart, then it will produce. The problem is that we've had seed by the wayside. It's not been planted or been on stony ground or sown among thorns. And once that happens, then it will not produce. But if I plant God's seed inside your spirit, then it will produce. And we want to produce what God's seed's given us to produce, right? Amen. I said amen. All right, so let's just do that then. I may change some of my teaching styles then to make sure that we're constantly planting seed, that I'm not just going by you and leaving you. I want to make sure that you've got it. Now, are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 yet? You've had plenty of time to get there. Let's just start reading with verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, there's a lot of things, if you'd have known, you wouldn't have done certain things, would you? If you'd have known other things, right? But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Your spirit man is the real you, and he knows everything about you and all your things, don't he? You can't hide from him, can you? Amen. All right, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, so if the Holy Ghost knows all the things of God, and your spirit knows all the things of you, and you have received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is always in contact with God, then God's constantly reading your file, amen, shining a spotlight on your life. But the Holy Ghost is inside of you, and he knows all the things of God. So all the things of God are already in you. Everything God's doing, everything God's planning, everything God's working at, everything God's going to do, everything that the Holy Ghost knows, then the Holy Ghost is in you to reveal it unto you. Amen. For he says here, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, we're talking about the subject of spirit and soul and body. Why don't we just turn over to Proverbs 20 and look at another verse of Scripture? And we're going to finish up tonight because the school demands it. We've been in it long enough. Amen. We've just been here long enough. But it has been good, hasn't it? And you should have heard every one of them on spirit, soul, and body. And you would have gotten great revelation knowledge. So we're planting seed. Proverbs 20, 27. The spirit of man is the candle. You could say flashlight. You could say light bulb of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And the belly is not referring to the physical belly, but the spirit of man. So your spirit is God's candle. God illuminates, God guides, God leads, God speaks, God contacts our spirit. God does not contact our mind. He contacts our spirit relays it to our mind. If you hear God, unless it's an audible voice, you've got to hear Him out of your spirit. Because that's where He is, because that's who He's speaking to. He's not talking to your body. He's not talking to your head. He's talking to your spirit. And so if you hear Him, you got to hear Him inside. Amen? That's God's design. That's what He's designed for us to do. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now go to Romans chapter 8. These we've all got written here for you. Amen. So you can... Good preaching material. Amen. Good teaching material. Romans chapter 8 and verse... Let's see. Which one are we going to start with here? Let's just start with verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, how are you going to be led by the Spirit of God? Not through your head, not through your body. God's not going to go through the body to get to your spirit, but through your spirit. Then go down to verse 16. The Spirit should say Himself... Because He's not it. Himself beareth witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're the son of God. Now, I believe that's a little blind here because, you know, we got folks in the body of Christ who are not led by nothing but the devil and their flesh and their darling stupid head. It's the truth. 90% of the body are led by their head, or led by their friends, led by their relatives. Got to get advice. And if they're going to come to me and want me to give them advice, I'm going to tell them what the Spirit of God's saying. And the same Spirit of God that's in me is in them. How come they can't hear Him for themselves? Because they're walking after the flesh, after the dictates of the flesh, they're not in the Spirit. The Bible says we are in the Spirit. Well, if we're in the Spirit, then we ought to be able to walk in the Spirit. And we ought to be able to be led by the Spirit. And He's in your spirit, and He's in there to bear witness. So if you're going to be, so there's a lot of them that are children of God that are not led. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So I'll say it like this because it helps people understand, because exactly, no doubt about it, most of them are not led. You know, because the Holy Ghost is not going to let you do certain things, and the Spirit of God is not going to let you do certain things, and the love of God is not going to let you do certain things. And the Spirit of God is going to make you do certain things, and the love of God is going to make you do certain things, and your spirit's going to make you do certain things. If you're controlled and dominated by your spirit, and that's the purpose of all of this teaching, is to get to this point where we're sanctified in the spirit, in our soul, and in our body. We've got our body under control. We've got it trained. We've got our mind renewed to the Word of God. Now, it operates on spiritual laws. Our spirit man is the real man. He is a... If you got a spirit man, then you must have a spirit world, and there need to be spirit beings that He contacts, and there are rules and things and guidelines for the spirit of man. And but you know, we're led by intelligence, we're led by the 6 o'clock news, we're led by advice, and folks will give you advice freely, and everybody's got a peace of mind that they can share. And they'll tell you this, and they'll tell you that, and they'll give you sense, and they'll give you reason, and they'll give you feelings, and they'll say, what do you think? Well, I think. I don't care what you think. I don't care what anybody thinks. I care what he thinks. The Word and the Bible. And the Word is what God thinks, and it's what the Spirit thinks, and it's what the Spirit's going to tell you. So if the Holy Ghost is in me, and he is, and the Holy Ghost is in you, then why would he come to me and tell me things that I need to know, wouldn't tell you, unless it was really none of your business. But I'm just saying that there, the guidance, the Holy Ghost is going to tell you exactly what he's been telling you anyhow. He's been telling, he's been guiding, he's been leading, he's been prompting, he's been giving inspiration. But just folks are just, you know, it's like the analog radio. It's if you want to listen to a certain guy at 12 o'clock, you turn to 680 and he's on there. But they're over there at 685. And I can't get him. I wonder why God never speaks to me. He's talking to you all day long. And people can't hear him because they think their toes have got to curl up. They think that maybe, you know, a bright lightning has to, you know, we had lightning the other night. I mean, it was pretty, was it yesterday? Day before when it rained? Yeah, lightning yesterday. I never heard God speak in it, not a single time. I mean, it made the alarm go off, but I didn't hear God speak a single time. I found out God don't speak in the storm, speak in the lightning, speak in the earthquake. I find that God speaks to me a lot of times just by a still, small voice. It's like, I heard something. Did you hear that? I've said that a lot of times. Did you hear that? And I thought maybe you should have heard it, but I heard something. Well, that's the second way, but we've got to get into the first way. But anyhow, so here's what I'm saying to you. I'm planting seed in you. I'm trying to help you. Because here is the greatest of all teachings that I have ever learned. How to be led by the Spirit. You don't ever make dumb deals. You don't marry stupid people. Yeah. You don't invest in things that's going to flop. You don't take a job that's going to take you away from the Word, because I can tell you the Holy Ghost ain't going to tell you to do that. He ain't going to tell you to do that. Yeah, but the Holy Ghost. No, you got a ghost, all right? Well, what? It ain't the Holy Ghost. He's going to lead you to what? Full sonship rights. Here's what. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. They're the ones that move into full sonship rights. They're the ones that inherit. They're the ones that enjoy it. They're the ones that are driving it, wearing it, living it, and walking in it. And are y'all following me? See, and then he said in verse 16, for his Spirit bears witness. And there's the primary way he's going to lead you into prosperity, success, wisdom, and the things of life is just by bearing witness with you. Not in lightning storms, rainstorms, or thunder. You know, God spoke and they thought it thundered. You know, it was a great earthquake, but God wasn't there. He's in, where is he? God's in you, and he's in you by his Spirit, and his Spirit is the way that we're led. Now, we find out, to our great surprise, that we are not a soul, we're not a mind, are we? And that we are not a body. This body is just a house for our spirit man. But that our spirit and our soul are always intact together. And the only thing that will divide and teach us, the only thing that will tell you who you are, what you are, where you come from, where you're going, is the Word of God. See, it's the only thing on this earth that will divide spirit from soul is the Word of God. Because the world don't know how to do it. They just don't know. They're one and the same, they think, but it's not. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, your intellect, your reasoning faculties, your emotions, your decision-making faculties are right there. And you live in the house, your body, and your spirit looks out of these two headlights right here. And your spirit moves around on these feet and legs, right? And we are spirit beings, so we need to place much emphasis on the development of that man. Remember when we started out? Millions and billions of dollars have been spent on development of the mind of man. And it's all carnal. Millions and billions of dollars have been spent on the development of the body of man. And yet that's not going to profit them any, a little bit, but not much. But very little money on this earth has ever been spent on the development of the spirit of man. That is the part of man that is godlike. God is a spirit. We are a spirit. We need to develop him until he no longer lives after the dictates of the flesh, which Satan has always access to your flesh, but after the dictates of God. That is the man that contacts God. God's not a mind, nor is he a body. 2 Corinthians 4:16, let's all go look at that in your own Bible here and see what it says. For which cause we faint not, but though our what? Though our what? Outward man. Outward man. If you've got an outward man, then you must have an inward man, or he wouldn't say outward man. He'd just say man, wouldn't he? Huh? If you got a firstborn, then you must have a secondborn, because if you didn't have a secondborn, then there'd no need to say firstborn, you'd say born. Right? So if you got an outward man, then that must mean that there is an inward man. The outward man is the body, it's the house, it's a reflection of the inward man. The man on the inside, the inward man, the hidden man of the heart, the spirit, that's the man that becomes a new creature. That's the man that's born again. That's the man that looks like God, created in God's likeness. That was the man that was originally given authority on this earth. That's the man that disobeyed, committed high treason, sold out to the devil, and turned his authority over to the devil. That's the man Jesus came back to redeem and to die for. That man on the inside. Amen. Now, it tells us, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. It's a daily thing, isn't it? Then if it's a daily thing, then I believe that this development of our spirit should be a daily thing. Our walk with God is a daily walk, so contact with God should also be a daily thing. We can train this man to the point he never makes a wrong decision. We can always hear and understand the voice of God. We don't have to be in the dark. Well, I wonder what God would do with this. You never know what God's going to do. Yes, you can. The Spirit's been sent to us to search the things of God, the very deep things of God, that we might know all those things. Amen. And people just take half a verse of Scripture and say, you never know what God's going to do. You never know what God... They don't read the whole thing. They read it religiously. We will never make a bad investment or get hooked up with the wrong people. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin when he appeared to him, you might not like that, but he did anyhow, that if his brethren, his family, would learn to be led by the recreated human spirit, that he would make every one of them rich. Everyone. And he said, I'm not objecting to my children being rich. I'm objecting to them being covetous and greedy. Amen. Avarice. Love of money. Can't go to church because you got to do this or do that so you can make money. You need a checkup from the neck up. Now, let's talk about our previous steps that we talked about to the development of the spirit of man. We said, number one, we're to practice faith and walk in love. These are two of the main two fruits of the recreated human spirit. You're not going to have faith among the world, God's kind. And you're not going to have love among the world, God's kind. You'll have the natural human love. And yet, that'll turn on you and take you to court and sue you and shoot you. They once loved you, now they'll kill you. See, but agape won't ever kill you. Won't ever take you to court. Huh? Agape won't steal. Won't destroy. Agape won't gossip. Agape won't hurt, because it's God's love. And if that tells me what agape won't do, then that tells me what God won't do. See, God is agape. He endureth long. He's long-suffering. Aren't you glad? That he's been long-suffering with you. He has put up with you a long time. Thank God. These are the major fruits. I'm going to do the rest of it in tongues tonight. Y'all just pray for interpretation, right? Major fruits of the recreated human spirit. Love never what? Love never what? Fails. It never becomes obsolete. It never vanishes away. And it'll never fail. And make love your quest, your goal, your aim, your target. If you don't develop the spirit man, you're going to have to practice faith and sometimes practice love. You're just going to have to practice it. Sometimes you're going to have to love some people who are just going to make it hard for you to love them. See, if it's the fruit of the recreated human spirit, then we need to grow fruit, don't we? Fruit grows on a tree. Everybody say, I am. A fruit tree. Now, I know what kind of tree you are by the fruits hanging on you. That's You've been around some of them and the fruit smell rotten? Moving right along here. Amen. Number two, we said, to develop in this man, to develop him, you must spend time meditating in God's Word. Meditating in the Word is digesting God's food that He gave for your spirit man. You feed your body natural food, you feed your mind intellectual food, but you feed your spirit man spirit food. Jesus said, "My word, they are spirit, and they are life. They are life producing." Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." The word is your meat for your spirit man. We build up our spirit man through an exercise, and we build up our spirit man by our proper food. Our spirit man is to eat the word of God, digest it, and we do that through meditation in God's word. Are y'all listening to me? Now, turn to 1 Peter 2. Let's look at some scriptures on this now. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, as a new baby. Now, we understand this in the natural. I don't know why we can't understand it in the spiritual. Isn't it amazing how people think they don't need food for the spirit? What do you do at lunchtime? Huh? What do you do at lunchtime? I'm trying to sow a seed here. What do you do when it's dinner time? What do you do when the wife says supper's on the table? What does she say? Come get it. Well, I done made it and I done prepared it. And God sent apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and made them cooks, and told them prepare food, and told the pastors, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, poimen them, pastor them, feed them, fodder them, give them food, feed them, feed them, feed them. The most powerful, the most important thing on this earth is the Word of God. Amen. And we can take it or leave it. Wow. As newborn babes, you have a natural baby. Desire the sincere miracle of the Word that you may grow thereby. Now, I'll never forget my mother-in-law. She's gone on to be with her reward. But boy, she was one for eating. Oh man, I'm telling you, when it come to physical food, you just watch her. When she got a hold of something good, her face made all kinds of expressions, man. She humming come out of her voice and groanings out of her mouth. And if you went in there and you were trying to do something about your body and not eat so much to get stuffed, you know, and get all overweight, well, you just got to eat some more of this. Here's some pie. Have some pie. Oh, this is good pie. You got to have some of this pie. You got to eat this. Just trying to cram it down you. And I think about, well, why don't you come sit under my teaching and eat for about 6 weeks? Amen. Well, now we ain't got time to do that now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Paul said, I have fed you with what? I fed you with what? Milk, and not with what? So the two types of food there in it. You can meditate on the milk of God's word and you'll grow. You'll grow. Babes need to grow on the milk. But then after you grow up, you should eat some what? How many of y'all are still drinking from the bottle? Let me see. How many out here today drinking? Yeah, we have a room over there for use on the other side. It's called Toddlers and Nursery. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Huh? Boy, we can take care of our children physically, can't we? We can make sure they get the proper food. You've got to eat. You might go miss one meal. You've got to eat. You starve if you don't eat. That's true in the spirit, just like it is in the natural. Say amen, somebody. Amen. It's the truth. Meditation, here's what, is digesting God's food. Joshua 1, here's the great scripture on that meditation. Joshua 1, verse what? What is it? Verse 8. You know where it is, don't you? Well, I'm warding your garden here. This book of the law, we say the word in the New Testament, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein. If you're not talking the words, because you're not meditating it. It's departed. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Everybody say observe to do. Now, why do we meditate on God's word? In order that we may observe to do something. Why do we meditate on God's word? So that we may observe to act. There's something God the Word wants us to do, so we got to meditate on the Word to see what to do. Amen? I said amen? Amen? And so then He wants you to do something, and then if you do it, then look what He says there. And do all according to all that's written therein, for then, everybody say then, amen. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. My cross reference says you'll deal wisely in the affairs of life. You've got to meditate on God's word in order to digest that word so you can observe to do and to do those things that will make you prosperous, give you good success, and help you deal wisely in the affairs of life. And if you're not going to meditate in the word, forget about the good success, the prosperity. I don't care how much you go out there. I don't care how much you work. You're not going to do it, and the devil's going to make sure you don't do it. If you're a Christian, a child of God, He's going to make sure. He's going to work on your prosperity. He's going to work on your success. He's going to do everything He can to keep you down. Amen. It's meditating in the Word. And then you'll deal wisely in the affairs of life. Boy, that's cool, isn't it? You'll have good success. You'll be prosperous. You'll observe what to do that brings wisdom, success, and prosperity. And besides that, faith comes by meditating, hearing the word, don't it? Amen. Now, the next one we said that you need to do in order to develop spirit is practice the word. Practice believing, not doubting. Practice acting on the word, believing the word. James said, be ye doers of the what? And not what? Hearers only. Yeah, you got to hear it because faith comes, but you got to do it, don't you? Because faith without corresponding action is what? Dead. Amen. Now, Philippians 4 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Did God tell us to not care about anything? How many people do that? Thank you for being honest. How many of you don't care about nothing? How many of you don't even care if the sun rises tomorrow morning or not? How many of you could care less if they dropped a nuclear bomb right here in Raleigh? How many of you could care less about it? The rest of you care, don't you? Don't want that to happen? Well, He told you to be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. And Peter said, casting all your care, all your worries and all your anxiety. Now, you meditate on that, you observe to do, what to do. And what did He tell you to do? Don't worry. Don't care. Why? Because He careth for you. Whew. Oh man, somebody's doing it for me. You're doing something and it's a hard way, and then somebody comes in and taps you on the shoulder and says, you go sit down, I will take care of this for you. You say, well, all right, cool. And so, you know, here comes a situation in your life, and then, you know, you're out there and you're working at it, you're straining, how you going to fix that? And then the Holy Ghost taps you on the shoulder and says, hey son, you go over there and sit down, don't worry about it, I'm going to take care of this for you. You going to do what? Well, you reckon you can handle it? I don't know. This one's kind of tough. You know, this is a biggie. But my wife said. but the doctor said. But the bank said. They're coming to take my home, throw us out. Holy Ghost, tap your head. Don't worry about it. Amen. Oh, you don't worry. You got a place to sleep. I don't. I can see it right now. They call you and tell you they're going to throw you out of the house. I need a point with Pastor Jim. Number four, are we having fun? It was a good review. Give the word first place in your life. Now, when you get like this, we're telling you'll become word conscious. If you give the word first place, Remember, he said in Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. And heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never fail. Isn't that what he says? All right. If you give the word first place, you're going to become word conscious. In other words, whatever situation, whatever encounter, whatever emergency, whatever comes up, you're going to always ask yourself this question. What does the word say about this situation? If you give the word first place, when you become word conscious, whenever you enter a situation, a test, trial, or emergency, the word, which is your answer, will rise up in you. You will always ask yourself, what does the word say? Do not become advice conscious. People are free with advice. Christian counseling is good if the word is given. If counselors or preachers cannot advise you or counsel from the word, their advice or counsel is very poor. Because Jesus said, thy word is truth. And God always leads in line with the word. Final step, and here we are. This is one I probably could have stuck it in back, but I put it on the end. We're talking about steps to develop the recreated human spirit. You have, number one, what was the first step? You've practiced faith and walk in love. You're exercising your spirit. You're making your body act in line with love. I mean, bless God, when things look bad, you're giving. You see people, you know, they do something. A guy one time said something bad about me. You know what I did? I went home, got out a checkbook, and wrote him out an offering, and sent him an offering to his ministry. Man, he couldn't do anything but write me back a real sweet, nice letter. And I know what this, I'll tell you what, that love was heaping coals of fire on his head. And he a preacher. Can you believe that? Preachers running down other preachers. He in one town, and I'm in another, and he running me down. Well, I last time I looked in that town, not everybody in that whole town was in his church. But he didn't like it because I was going there. Well, you know, I just love him. So you're practicing faith. You're walking in love. Glory to God. You believe and you receive. And then number two, you're doing what? Meditating. What was the second step? You're meditating on the word of God and you're observing to do. So now you're practicing the word. You're putting the word into practice. You're a doer of the word. And you've put the word first place in your life. I mean, whatever happens. And you've been doing this constantly and constantly and constantly. You're developing that spirit man. You're walking in the spirit, not walking in the flesh. When things happen, symptoms come. You know, you don't run off to the drugstore. You don't run off to the open up your cabinet. How many bottles of pills we got in here? You know, that's not the first thing you do. What does the word say about this? If you have to take a pill, get off a little symptoms, that's all right. But the word's first, not the pill first. Right. Huh? What does the word say about it? You're a word conscious man now, aren't you? Is that what you are? Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I'm word conscious. Say, I've put the word first place in my life. I'm walking in faith. I'm walking in love. I'm meditating on God's word. I'm observing to do. I'm practicing what I observe to do. I've put the word first place. Glory to God. Let's see now. Love, meditation, practicing, putting the word first place. That's four. Number five. When you've done that, you develop a spirit man. Here is a tremendous key. I can never teach this too much. You will never hear this lesson, this message too much. And people fry this one more than anyone in the body of Christ. Always. Everybody say always.
Always.
All right, now I'm talking about, here's the guy. See, now he's born again. You can't do this if you're not born again. Because you can't trust people not born again. They'll lie to you. And a man's not born again, he don't even have any conscience. I mean, he's sin looking for a place. He's a lie looking for a place. He's fixing to do somebody before they do it to them. Amen. He's out to get somebody, right? You're born again. You now are a child of God. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And now all your things are of God. Amen? Amen. And so, you're doing those things. You're walking in love. Glory to God. Practicing faith. Walking in love. Practicing love. Walking in faith. Amen. Meditating the word. Glory to God. What's the next one? Practicing the word. Amen. Putting the word first place. Glory to God. And so when you get it, next thing you do, if you're doing it, is always instantly. Everybody say instantly.
Instantly.
Always obey.
Always obey.
Instantly.
Instantly.
The voice of your spirit.
The voice of your spirit.
Man, that's an awesome thing. You've got to get this. This is, has to be the greatest teaching that I have ever learned, because I was hit and miss and up and down. I didn't know whether it was God, me, or the devil. I really didn't know whether it was God telling me this. I was just telling me this. What was the devil telling me this? Well, number one, if he's telling you to love, that ain't the devil. If he's telling you to give, that ain't the devil. If he's telling you to help, that ain't the devil. If he's telling you to get involved with the church, that ain't the devil. If he's telling you to stay home, that's the devil. If they pass the plate and you don't want to give, someone says, well, you've given enough last week. That's not God, that's the devil. If he tells you to hold on to what you got, that's the devil. Amen. If he tells you to turn loose what you got, that's God. Amen. Doesn't the Bible say he that loses his life shall gain it?
That's right. Amen.
And there is though that withhold more than his meat, and it tends to poverty. Isn't that right?
Amen.
If it says given it shall be given you, that's God. Why? That's God leading you in line with the Word.
Amen.
If he's telling you that here's a fellow over here look like he needs some love, just like he needs a word of encouragement. You walk over there and put your hand on his back and say, you know, God's working in your behalf. I just want to know I love you, man. I'm lifting you up to God. I'm telling you, that's not the devil.
Amen.
That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's in line. Now, anytime God leads you, it's always going to be in line with the Word.
Amen.
With the character of the Word, with the character of love, and with the character of God.
Mm-hmm.
You can know this, that it's always God doing that. And if God lives inside of us, and he does, wouldn't it make sense that if I'm a spirit and he's a spirit, and my spirit's in contact with his spirit who searches all the things of God, and then his flashlight's on me searching me, all my inward parts, right? That we ought to be able to communicate with one another. God leads us, God guides us, God directs us through our spirits.
Amen.
For the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is man's God's light bulb, flashlight. And so he's leading, he's guiding, he's searching constantly. Always, instantly, obey the voice of your spirit. Now, in the world, they call it inner guidance. They call it intuition and inner leading. But I call it conscience or witness. Bearing, Romans 8:16, his spirit beareth witness. Now, when you're talking about bearing witness, you're not talking about words. You're not talking about hearing anything. You're not talking about feeling anything for sure. You're talking about a witness. We're talking about a knowing in your knower. You know what I mean when I say that? We're talking about maybe a pulling to something, a gentle pull. Or we're talking about we're talking about a check in your spirit, or we're talking about peace. We're talking about something that's very, very uneasy, or in your just a rumbling in you, or we're talking about something smooth. Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
That bears witness down on the inside. See, now this man is born again. He's a new creature in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He now has a voice, and his voice is called conscience. And now that he's born again, created in Christ Jesus, he is a safe guide. Your spirit. Once you're born again, you follow your spirit. You follow your conscience, and you will find God's perfect will for your life. And if you'll look inside instead of looking for advice, he's in there telling you. He's in there telling you. I don't know why the Lord don't speak to me. He is. He's speaking to you.
Amen.
He may not be doing it through words. But you see, we got to have handwriting. We got to have a prophecy given to us. We got to have a vision. We got, you know, I've had night visions. I've never had what I call an open vision. I've had one time where Jesus showed me what he looked like. I saw it in my spirit on the cross, what his face looked like, and how he was beat. And I saw his picture. I saw his face. And later that was confirmed, and I told you the story, how I saw that somewhere else. But anyhow, those things are all right. We don't seek to be led by visions. If you do, the devil will give you one. We don't seek to be led by prophecies. If you do, then we can go to all these churches around here who just want to have prophesying meetings. They want to prophesy to everybody. Not against prophecy. If it comes, fine. But the main thing that the flock needs is to be fed, not to be prophesied to.
Amen.
need to be fed more than, and most of them are just a lot of prophesying and all that. That's fine. It happens. It happens. I'm saying I'm not seeking to be led. Like, besides that, I'm not led by prophecies.
Amen.
And I'm not led by prophets.
Amen.
That same guy told you that gave me that hard word, you know, he was telling me about he was an apostle and said something about me, and then went and told everybody something bad about me. The group of people speaking to spoke disparagingly about me, trying to light his candle by putting mine out. You know, and he said something to me, and I said, he said, I'm an apostle. And I said, well, I'm not led by apostles. He got madder. So he did all that other stuff, so I just sent him that offering, and that just calmed him right down. Love never fails, does it? See, I'm walking in the Spirit. And you did that, see, that was God. Bible says you heap coals of fire on them, don't it?
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Heaping coals of fire. Well, learning to develop the recreated human spirit, learning to listen to that voice, he'll lead you even in the very minor details of life. Way back there a long time ago, you didn't know what it was, but just something inside, you know. I've had people talking to, I get, you know what? I can get around people. And I can tell you who's honest and who's not. You ever been around people and they claim to be Christians, but yet you want to get away from them? You can't talk to them. They're up on cloud nine somewhere, or they're so spiritually superior than everybody else. Get real. Church, and I'll tell you the honest gospel truth. I can't stand to be around them. I mean, I practice faith and I practice love. But the only thing I get in my spirit, and you know, no words, but yet I'm hearing it. You ever heard, had your body talk to you? I'm not talking about your mouth. Does your body talk to you when you're hungry? Do you hear it say, I'm hungry, I'm hungry? You hear it, but it's not saying it. But you're hearing it because it's saying it. You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yes, I understand.
Your body tell you when you're sleepy? See, it talks, don't it? Without words. Without words. Your spirit, the number one way, the primary way you'll know is knowing in your knower. Once you're born again, he's a safe guide. He'll tell you what is right. He'll tell you what is wrong. I go by that on practically every decision I make. I don't ever look to hear words. I just look down in there. Because that's where he is. That's where the Holy Ghost is, in that recreated human spirit. Now, if I've developed it, see, most people can't because they never spent any time developing. They gotta go to marriage counseling. Good day in this world. They gotta go to some psychologist who's gonna do what? Deal with you out of his head. Psycho. Comes from the Greek word psyche, mind. He's going to talk to you out of his head, and so all he's going to give you is his opinion. And everybody in town's got one of them. Right? Now, some of you have heard this, and you've heard me teach these things, but it bears repeating, don't it? Why do you have to look inside for marriage counseling when inside he tells you what to do? And when you done wrong, you child of God, didn't he tell you? Huh? Without saying a word, you knew he was talking to you, wasn't he? Called the voice of your spirit's called conscience. Everybody say conscience.
Conscience.
Now your conscience can talk to you without saying words, without hearing any words, any sentences. And that's your heart.
And the Bible says if our conscience condemns us, God is greater than our hearts. In other words, the only way I know to say it is like this. If your conscience is bothering you, God's screaming at you. Because, and people, now watch it. People will flat burn their conscience. Sear it. Ignore it. And I watch them do it constantly, and they have no idea that their conscience is God talking to them. I had a little thing with Joel here. You know, young people. Get out, go somewhere and grow up, then come back. People will sear their conscience. Well, it don't bother me. Well, you need another dip in the fountain. You didn't get born again. Because you got born again, there's a new creature in there, and that new creature don't want to do that stuff that the world does. But we look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, fight like the world. Said all ages, bless God, that's it. We'll just split and divide. Boy, you're a child of God, aren't you? Aren't you the great ranking representative of the body of Christ? You may fool a lot of people, but you ain't fooled the devil and you ain't fooled me. As I get around you, man, I'll know it. My antenna's up.
That's right.
I know it. They will flat sear their conscience over and over and over and over. Keep right on to where that's, wow, you know what happens? It doesn't bother them anymore. That means he's seared.
That's right.
That's when you're in a heap of trouble, boy. Because
right.
He ain't even going to talk to you. You don't need him to try to talk to you anymore because you ain't going to listen. You're just not going to listen. I have preached and preached and preached and taught and taught stuff here till I'm about blue in the face. And these precious darling dinglings will sit right there now to the point where they'll say, he's not talking about me. And they've seared their conscience.
Mm-hmm.
He's not talking about me. Yeah, I'm talking straight at you.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of you. Tell you what God says, you keep right on refusing to act on it. And then you get to the point where now God's Spirit's not going to strive with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to say, go ahead. I watch them come to people, get married, marry other people. They got to go. I said, why is it women got to go out in the world to get them a man? Or a man's got to go out in the world to get them a woman? Boy, you're led by God, aren't you? Yeah, the Holy Ghost says, go out to the Logo Juke joint. And I said, man, that I want you to marry. Number one, you're a fool. Oh, well, but you see, I'm going to get them saved and we're going to be right and we're going to... If you ain't doing it now, he ain't going to do it. It's going to be worse afterwards, honey. Mark it, I know it. Do you think I was born yesterday? What's the matter with you? And all you got to do, this whole thing is easy. The whole thing, the kingdom of God is easy. It's just everybody listen to the voice of their spirit. Are y'all dull of hearing or what? Come on, say amen now. Is this true or what? I tell him, see, I was talking about Joel. Joel's got to worry, he played pretty good, sing a little good. Never fails. I tell you, musicians will listen to the devil quicker than anybody. I've had more trouble with people in music departments than any other department because the devil used to be in charge of music. And what does he want you to do? Can you imagine? Why don't I just tell y'all? I tell you what. I just think, you know, I'm going to take 3 months off. I'm going to take 3 months off and I'm not going to come feed y'all for 3 months. Besides, you've had enough anyhow. Huh? Now, what would you think about a pastor? Can you hear it? I can hear y'all running y'all's mouth out in the foyer out there. Your jaw's just bumping, man. Man, like ratchet jaw. You know, there was a guy in school we grew up with, we always called him ratchet jaw. He never shut up. Just all the time. Well, that's people, well, you know, ratchet jaw. You heard the pastor said, you know, he's going to take off. He's going to lay his anointing down. Wouldn't that be absolutely ridiculous? And so then the mindset is that, well, you know, the pastor's the only one that's held accountable for what he can do. So he decides to take off for several months now, and he's not going to play in the band, and I'm going to do this, or here he got somebody that's coming. If I can't have a microphone in my hand, then I'm not going to sing. Where is your conscience? And besides that, if you cannot listen to your conscience, I'm just going to keep right on with this, okay? If you cannot listen to your conscience, then, and you cannot be faithful in another man's stuff, how are you going to be faithful in the other? You expect God to bless you and use you. No, he can't depend on you. And when he needs to do something big, he's not going knocking at your door. Because you bury your talents. You bury your abilities because you seared your conscience.
That's right. Amen.
I'm fixing to take off the 5th. I wanted to leave on the 4th. Really wanted to leave on Thursday afternoon, the 3rd. But she messed around and didn't get a ticket, so I had to leave on the 5th. We're going to go into Calgary, and we're going to go back down in Montana. We're going to, and that fire is out in Jesus' name. Amen. And the rain is falling in that place. And I'm going to be gone for 10 days. I'll be back on the, leave on a Tuesday, be back on the Friday week. Okay. And that's about all I can stand. I've got to preach.
Amen.
The anointing's on me. And your anointing, your calling, your gift doesn't move you anymore. I wonder why.
Ooh. Amen.
Yeah, but I need a break. Everybody needs a break. I would like to take a 3-month break from y'all. And let you come in here and sit here and watch these four walls feed you. I get this guy. You don't believe that happened right here in Raleigh. You think maybe in North Virginia or South Carolina, but not in Raleigh, North Carolina. Sitting on the word year after year after year after year after year after year after year. I'm telling you the truth. And then here comes this woman in his life. Oh, yeah. She's a Christian? Oh, yeah, she's a Christian. Really? Now he don't even come to church. Leader in the church. And I told him, this thing is wrong. Why? Because the Spirit of God in me said it. But he's not led by pastors. My wife tells him. But he's not led by my wife. Neither am I. Others told him. And then I talked with him. And he said that God told him not to do it. Now that one blew me away. I know I can miss it, but I know God don't. You know what I'm saying? Now, he just left his post.
Yeah, that's right.
And walked out. And wisdom is justified of her children. Well, praise the Lord. I wonder what the Holy Ghost said. I heard what God said. I wonder what his conscience says. How are you going to let a woman come between you and Jesus? You are brain dead. I told that woman, Rajana, years ago, you ain't going to pull me away from Jesus, whether you ever come back or not. And if you don't, this is the way I told her, in just this tone. And if you don't, God will send me another woman that'll love me better than you. Because I don't believe in staying single. Did I tell you like that? I certainly did. Meant every word of it. And the only reason I wasn't already involved with another woman because I couldn't commit adultery. I couldn't have one right. My spirit wouldn't let me do that. I mean, this guy come to the house lining me up with women. Get out of here! See, I had a conscience about me. The voice of your spirit. Well, now, maybe that's big things, but look, your conscience will lead you into minor things.
That's right.
He'll deal with you in minor things. Minor, and what? He said, if you'll learn to develop your spirit and obey your spirit, don't defy him. He said, I'll make you rich. Oh, I just never, because see, all I grew up and all I ever saw was poor mouth preachers. Amen. Who had, now I tell you what, you know part of the reason why I'm like I am? Because I saw the way those other guys did and I said, bless God, they ain't never going to do that to me. I said when I first saw that, I grew up, I mean, preachers were poor. And I said, I ain't gonna ever be a preacher. Are you kidding me? You got to be crazy. Preach to these people. And I saw the way those people acted. The way they treated the pastor. I don't want nothing to do with that. Here God came, called me, got saved. First thing I know, before he even opened his mouth to speak to me where I could hear him, I had this thing in me saying, no words. Just this knower in my knower. You got to preach. Then he came and called me, and I heard his voice. It was audible to me when he asked me. So I loved him more than I loved what they did. The primary way he's going to lead you is by an inward witness. You know in your knower that you're to go. Right? And that's what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do. I knew in my knower that I had to go to Kinshasa. I had no choice. I had to do it. Did my flesh want to go? No. But I had to do it. I knew in my knower that I had to leave my hometown where I was and my job, my security. And I had to go to Tulsa and I had to go to school. I knew in my knower. He confirmed it by other things, but that was the first way I knew. His spirit bore witness. That's the primary way. No words, just knowing. A knowing. A red light, a green light. Peace or uneasy. Should I or shouldn't I? Well, look in here, he'll tell you. Look in here, he'll tell you. Man, this is a great teaching.
Amen.
All the more reason why. If God communicates with our spirit, and God leads and God guides and God contacts our spirit, wouldn't it make sense that you must develop that man? And then there's a second way, and I'll just stop with this one. And I can go into others, but these are two primary ways he leads. Number one, in your day-to-day walk, your day-to-day life is going to be an inward witness. But number two is what I call the still, small voice. And that's where, you know, I heard something. A lot of times like that to me, it dawned on me, I heard it like you know, it's going by. You ever been by, you remember, analog, you go by that radio station, you went on, but you were going, man, I don't hear that, what was that, and you backed up to it? You heard something. I've had this happen. Those five examples I've given you there, let me go look at them, get them fresh in my mind, and then you can remind me, and I'll tell you those five examples. You've heard them, but they're good. It's always in line with the Word. I remember when the Lord told me by a still small voice, you need to go to Eric's church. You need to go visit Eric's church. It was just a still. You know, most people are, because they don't spend time developing the spirit man, praying in tongues, they're not tuned in. And they'll miss it. And look, if you miss it, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you health. It's going to cost you success. You're not going to deal wisely because that's the way he set it up. This is how it comes, honey. If you don't develop that man, forget it. You're not going to hear this. What was the second way in there? That next example.
Oh, where Sean
lives? Oh, yeah. We were in Dodge City, and we were pastoring, started to work there, and needed a building of our own, meeting in a school building. And it was free, basically free, and that's good. A missionary came to one time, a brother we loved, and he come to our church, and he says, Jim, what you really need is your own building, just something you can hang a shingle on. He said, that'll help you more than anything in growth. And he's right. But I sought God about it. I prayed in tongues. I didn't know where to look. I asked this one, I asked that one. Oh, you find anything? Nothing. And then one day, I'm listening, you know, here, and I hear this still small voice that says, out where Sean lives. Well, Sean's one of the young men in the church, him and his wife. I knew where they lived. I went out there. I drove out there. That's all I had. A little still, small voice. If you hadn't been, it was just so faint. I just caught it. And I drove out to where he, on the street when I did. I saw his house and I looked right across the street and there was a building for sale. We bought that building and moved in it. What's the next one? Oh yeah. One church I pastored, there was a bunch of trouble in the church. And this woman was kind of like, you know, she was a good worker and kind of you could depend on and could do things and seemed to be mature. Her husband, but she did a lot for me. Oh, he's a flake. He's off on every little tangent that come by. And that should have told me right there. But anyhow, I had told her that I was going to put her in a position in the church, position of authority. And that she'd shown herself faithful. Well, in the meantime, something happened and she got caught up in it. Well, she was calling everybody over. She called Buddy Harrison. She called out there starting and told him that she was an elder of the church. And I'm sitting, caused some trouble, you know. Buddy called me and I'm sitting on my bed one day. This is on Pace. Where we live, right across from that Baptist church. Was that Pace Street? Huh? Britt Street. I'm sitting on bed one day praying about this. Man, my church, man, they had tore about 75 to 80% of my people, took them out of the church. And she was causing trouble, was going to do all this. And I'm sitting on the bed, and all I didn't know was a still small voice says, you know, you never did put her in that position, did you? I said, no, sir. I just caught that. He said, well, don't worry about it. She's got no authority. Mm-hmm. And then I went next time she did it, I told her, I said, you were never put in that place position. You don't have any records, no minutes about it at all. And man, the whole thing, she fizzled. She lost everything. I just listening to them, just heard the voice of the Spirit. Yeah, what's the next one? Don't park here. Now this is a good one. This is when I we were in Larned, Kansas, and I needed a car. And one day the deacon board in the church, they come together, and one of them, man, had an idea from God. Why don't we buy our pastor a car? I thought, man, that's from God, just show the world. And so they gave me so much money, but what it was, I couldn't buy brand new, but I got it practically new, a demonstrator type thing. And this guy that was in the church, he was in the cars and he helped me get a good deal and all that. And so we got it and I had my new car, man. But it snowed like crazy out there, man. I mean, when we went out there, it was 27 inches on the ground. And I said, man, people ain't coming to church. I can't have this. And then last time I parked back there in the little carport, it snowed and I couldn't get out for a week. So I had to hoof it. Or somebody come get me till they finally plowed it. Well, one night I pulled up and it's in the wintertime, you know, and it looked good. There was nothing in the sky. It looked fine. I parked up in front of, we'd come home from the church. Everything's good. And so I parked in front of the house because they were predicting something. So I parked in front of the house out there on the street. There was a wide street and it's a brick street. You use bricks out there in the little town of Larned, Kansas, and real wide. So, I mean, people ought to have no problem driving down the road, you know, and not hitting somebody's car. Well, I parked there, and the moment I cut the switch off, I heard the steel, just dawned on me, I heard it said, don't park here, park in the back. And I ignored it. Well, 5:30 in the morning, I got a phone call. 5:30 in the morning, woke me up, it's dark outside. Is this Mr. Whitfield, Reverend Whitfield? Yeah, this is Mrs. Jim Whitfield. He said, you live in such a, what was the name of that street? What was the name of that street? We know that name of that street, don't we? What was that? I'll think of it. But anyhow, Holy Ghost knows what his name was. Anyhow, I said, yes. He said, sir, somebody's hit your car. I said, sir, I'm in the bed. Ain't nobody hit my car. I'm in the bed. He said, if you'll look out the window, and I did, I saw a blue light going vroom, 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 vroom. Oh, my God, brand new car. Brand new car, because I didn't listen to that spirit. Oh, do you ever have said, dummy, 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 huh? And unbeknownst to me, the helpmate God give me, she heard the same thing and didn't say anything to me. Now, I would have been smart enough to know that in the mouth of two or three witnesses that every word would be established. And I would not have gotten my car. So ultimately, she was the reason for it. It's her fault. It's always been your fault, hasn't it? So anyhow, I go out there and the lady was delivering newspapers in the morning and she'd swing on the side and throw it out, you know, it's wide. She sung on my side and paper and just almost missed but didn't miss. But you know, between almost missed and didn't miss is what? $1,200, you know. So, it was like that guy driving that car, and he came to the stop sign, and he almost stopped, but he didn't stop, but he almost stopped, you know. And the guy pulled him over, and he said, what's the difference between almost stopping and stopping? He said, $4,750. Whatever. But you learn things with my children. People try to talk you into this. Oh, let your child go. It'll be all right. You already made this policy. But they always want to, come on, Pastor. They're just children. Children have been molested. All kinds of things happened to them. Raped, murdered, and killed. When inside that little something, not even words, just the witness said no. And now you're burying your child. Because you didn't listen to the witness. This is a matter of life and death.
That's right. Amen.
Success or failure. Mm-hmm. Dealing wisely, what's the opposite of dealing wisely? Mm-hmm. Foolishly.
Amen.
Are y'all out there?
Amen.
Did you get anything out of this?
Yeah.
Is this good teaching?
Yeah.
I said, is this good teaching?
Yeah.
Have I sowed any seed in you tonight?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. What a way to end up spirit, soul, and body. Everybody say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For the Word of God.
For the Word of God.
Thank you for Pastor Jim. Coming and teaching me.
The truth.
So I don't have to make the same mistakes. That he made. Brother Lindsay, the one and only. Don't he look sharp tonight? Amen.